Spectrum.com. This is NPR.
And this is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. We're 91.5 Lawrence and 96.1 FM in Lawrence. You can find us online at kansaspublicradio.org. We still have a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening. Otherwise, mostly clear overnight, lows in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, highs near 90 degrees. It's 85 in Atchison. This is KPR.
From NPR News, this is
more in my meditations than you might suppose. Andrew Limbong, NPR News.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
What a lovely poem from the University of Kansas. We are Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 89.9 Atchison. You can find us online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Ashley Davis, announcing the release show of her new album, Songs I Was Raised On, featuring 18 covers of 1960s and 70s folk classics. Saturday, September 27th, 7 p.m. at Liberty Hall. Tickets at libertyhall.net.
What would you do if a book just mysteriously showed up in your mailbox? And your neighbors? And your other neighbors? Coming up, we'll hear about some people in Baltimore, where thousands of copies of the same book showed up without any explanation. We'll hear the story behind the mysterious Great Controversy. That's just ahead on All Things Considered here on Kansas Public Radio. Listening to KPR is easy with an Amazon smart speaker. Tell your device to enable the KPR skill. Then whenever you say play KPR, you can not only live stream KPR 1 and KPR 2, but also listen to shows on demand, including the local news. Find out more by clicking the Extras tab at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
We've got a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening. Otherwise, mostly clear overnight, lows in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, again, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs near 90 degrees. It's 85 in Atchison, 83 in Emporia, 85 in Manhattan, 85 in Topeka.
Support for NPR comes from this station.
For NPR News, I'm Scott Masioti in Baltimore.
This is NPR News.
President Trump is heading to the United Kingdom, where he'll be the guest of honor at a state banquet and stay at Windsor Castle. He'll be joined by U.S. business leaders and meet with the royal family and British Prime Minister. We'll learn what deals are expected between the friendly countries tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us for Morning Edition from 5 to 9 o'clock here on Kansas Public Radio. Your host tomorrow, A. Martinez, Michelle Martin, and Matthew Algio. Good evening, I'm Kay McIntyre, sitting in for Laura Lorson today and tomorrow. She'll be back on Wednesday. We're just a minute away from the latest news from NPR. Right after that, it's state and regional news from the KPR newsroom. The time is 6:30. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Pressured the administration to dismiss Maureen Comey. She's asking for reinstatement to her job and back pay. The DOJ declined comment. Carrie Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
And you're listening to NPR News.
From the KPR newsroom, I'm Kay McIntyre. Good afternoon. Kansas education leaders have released new data that will allow districts to roughly compare this year's state test scores to those from last year. Suzanne Perez has this report.
Officials had previously warned that year-over-year comparisons would not be possible because of redesigned tests and all new cut scores. But Matt Copeland with the University of Kansas Testing Center says new concordance tables will help districts continue to measure progress.
We haven't shifted from apples to oranges. If I had to give a better metaphor, We've gone from a Red Delicious apple to a Honeycrisp apple.
The 16 tables show linked scores for each grade level and subject. Test officials say they should not be used to compare individual student scores from one grade to the next. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Suzanne Perez in Wichita.
A Lawrence man has been arrested after allegedly attacking several cars with a ukulele. The Lawrence Journal World reports that officers were called to downtown Lawrence, where witnesses reported the man hitting a number of vehicles with the instrument, including breaking the windshield of a parked car. 31-year-old Randy Washiatoni was arrested on suspicion of felony criminal damage to property. Kansas will soon have what looks like its first house built with hemp-based alternatives to concrete and foam insulation. Kansas State University is teaming up with Habitat for Humanity of the Northern Flint Hills to work on an 860-square-foot house in Ogden near Manhattan. Architecture professor Michael Gibson says hemp-based materials take far less energy to produce and are also excellent for insulating walls and floors.
We could be using this to build houses right now. There's nothing that's stopping the construction industry from picking up and expanding with the use of this material.
The house will also have solar panels. In 8 years, it will have produced enough electricity to offset the carbon footprint of having built it. The Sedgwick County Zoo has a new bison calf. KWCH reports that Ruby Lee was born during the zoo's annual Zubilee celebration last week. Ruby Lee has already received her first vaccinations, been microchipped, and weighed. The zoo named her after a precious gem following the family tradition established by her mother, Pearl, and her aunt, Jade. From the KPR Newsroom, I'm Kay McIntyre.
Support for NPR comes from the station.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we're 91.5 Lawrence and 96.1 FM in Lawrence. You can find us online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming the ROM Trio, a two-trumpet and piano family ensemble, Sunday, September 28, 2 p.m. in the Pavilion. Tickets available at lead.ku.edu.
Did you watch the Emmy Awards last night? Coming up, we'll have a conversation that Eric Deggans had with two of the winners from the TV program Severance. That's coming up on All Things Considered here on Kansas Public Radio. Then coming up at 7 o'clock this evening on KPR One, it's Classics with Destiny. We'll end the day on a lucky note with the Talisman Overture. We'll also enjoy the soothing and peaceful sounds of Gershwin's Lullaby for String Quartet. That's on Evening Classical at 7 o'clock with Destiny on KPR One. And if you're joining us on KPR Two, it's This American Life at 7 o'clock. Today on This American Life, campus life is looking a little different this fall. College disorientation. That's coming up in 10 minutes on KPR Two. We've got a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening, lows overnight in the mid 60s. This is KPR.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Elsa Chang.
And I'm Ari.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on safe driving habits at progressive.com. Not available in California or from all agents. From Fisher Investments, Fisher's dedicated team of specialists provide resources on investing, retirement income, estate planning, and more. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, supporting creative people and effective institutions committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information is at macfound.org. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
You might hear some people you agree with on Morning Edition and some you don't. That's the point. Different views for a full picture of the news. Listen weekdays from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow for Morning Edition from 5 to 9 o'clock here on Kansas Public Radio. Your host tomorrow, Michelle Martin, A. Martinez, and Matthew Algio. Good evening. I'm Kay McIntyre. It's been delightful spending the afternoon with you. Coming up on All Things coming up on Kansas Public Radio is Evening Classical with Destiny.
Support for KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
Kansas Public Radio's news coverage and All Things Considered is possible because of support for more than 5,000 listeners just like you. That $10 or $20 a month every month ensures that this service continues to be for you day in and day out. Their support matters, so does yours. Go take a minute and go to kansaspublicradio.org to donate today. And thanks.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Prairie Paws Animal Shelter, serving Ottawa, Manhattan, and Emporia. Prairie Paws connects pets with new homes through adoption services, helping to ensure that every animal gets a second chance. More at prairiepaws.org.
Partly cloudy skies throughout the KPR listening area. We still have a chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening. A chance of showers and thunderstorms for tomorrow. Otherwise, highs near 90 degrees tomorrow. It's 82 in Atchison, 83 degrees in Lawrence, 83 in Manhattan. This is KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Joel Snyder. The U.S. military has carried out another deadly airstrike on a small boat from Venezuela. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports on the second time this month the U.S. has killed alleged drug traffickers.
President Trump posted a video of an airstrike on social media saying the U.S. had confirmed the three people on a small boat in international waters were carrying drugs on board. Two U.S. officials who requested anonymity because they're not authorized to speak publicly told NPR that Congress had been notified of the strike. The previous strike on a Venezuelan boat killed 11 people who appeared to be heading back to shore. President Trump has moved ships and troops into the waters off Venezuela and says the U.S. is hunting what he called narco-terrorists. Venezuela is considered a minor player in smuggling of cocaine to the U.S. The far deadlier drug, fentanyl, is made and smuggled into the U.S. from Mexico. Quill Lawrence, NPR News.
President Trump has signed a proclamation making Memphis the latest Democratic-led city to face a federal crackdown on crime. He announced the deployment of National Guard and other federal law enforcement officers in the Oval Office today. To Israel, Secretary of State Marco Rubio embraced Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and publicly expressed U.S. support for Israel's intensifying war in Gaza. But in Qatar, regional leaders gathered to condemn the war and last week's Israeli attack in the Gulf state. Here's NPR's Aya Petrawi.
Qatar's ruling opened the summit by saying it is impossible to negotiate with Israel after its, quote, cowardly attack on Hamas negotiators in his country just days ago. Qatar has been a mediator between Israel and Hamas throughout the war in Gaza and hosts Hamas's political leadership. It convened the high-level summit of leaders from Morocco, Turkey, Egypt, Pakistan, and beyond, with the aim of presenting a united front against the bombing, which killed at least six people, none of them senior Hamas officials. The summit concluded with a lengthy statement condemning Israel, but did not call for specific action to be taken. Egypt's president, however, warned at the summit that Israeli actions obstruct prospects for new peace deals with Israel and undermine existing ones. Aya Beltraoui, NPR News, Dubai.
President Trump says he wants companies to report their earnings less frequently. He thinks that would allow them to plan for the long term, as NPR's Rafael Nam reports.
Right now, companies listed in stock exchanges have to report their earnings every 3 months. It's a process executives hate. They think it's cumbersome and expensive, and they say the process forces companies to prioritize short-term objectives. The president agrees. In a social media post, he called for companies to only report every 6 months. But some finance experts are alarmed. They say that such a long gap will lead to less transparency. Any changes won't come soon, however. Regulators would need a long process to change the current rules. Rafael Nam, NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Chapter, offering Medicare advice to seniors nationwide and working to find the plans that best fit their needs. Advisors are available by dialing #250 and saying keyword Medicare Help. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate September 15th. A bright star and planet team up with the moon early tomorrow to form a tight, beautiful triangle. Pollux will stand close to the lower left of the moon, with much brighter Jupiter about the same distance to the lower right of the moon. Pollux is the brightest star of Gemini, while Jupiter is a planet. Jupiter is by far the giant of the solar system. It's more than twice as massive as all the other planets combined, and it's about 11 times the diameter of Earth. That makes it big enough to hold 1,300 Earths. But a recent study says that Jupiter might have been much bigger during its infancy, about 2 or 2.5 times its current diameter. That would have made it big enough to hold thousands of Earths. Scientists came to that conclusion by studying the orbits of two of Jupiter's small, close-in moons. The orbits are slightly tilted. Simulations showed that the moons were pushed into those orbits by the larger moon, Io, as it moved away from Jupiter. Those calculations revealed Jupiter's original size and other details. Jupiter probably formed in just a few million years, much quicker than most of the other planets. By then, the supply of planet-making materials had dried up, so Jupiter's gravity began squeezing it and making it spin faster. Eventually, the planet reached a point where it couldn't shrink any farther, leaving the smaller but still giant world we see today. We have more skywatching tips and much more about the universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Support for Stardate on KPR comes from the KU Natural History Museum, offering memberships to help support the museum's mission of studying life, past, present, and on, to educate, engage, and inspire. Membership details at biodiversity.ku.edu.
Thank you.
Antonio Salieri's The Talisman Overture here on Kansas Public Radio with Mikhail Dittrich conducting the Slovak Radio Symphony Orchestra. Hello, KPR friends. It is Monday. I thought maybe that Talisman Overture might bring you a little luck for the week. We could all use some luck in our lives, I think. Hope you all had a very lovely weekend, and I'm aiming for a peaceful start to this week, so I am going to play for you one of my all-time favorite lullabies. That'll be towards the end of the hour, but I thought I would get you all stirred up beforehand with some Beethoven. We are going to enjoy together Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 5, The Emperor. Indeed we are, and I have a recording here of Maurizio Pollini playing with the Berlin Phil, and Claudio Abbado is conducting. And by the way, I forgot to tell you who I am. I'm Destiny, your evening classical host, and I'm so glad you're here. Let's listen now on KPR. Thank you.
will say, being a performing musician, there is something enthralling about live applause here on KPR. Applause to Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 5, The Emperor, Maurizio Pollini, our pianist there, with the Berlin Phil and Claudio Abbado. Wow, that would be a fun concert to see, for sure. Some fun lullaby coming your way by Gershwin, but first I've got to tell you about Classics Live. Thursday evening at 7, only on KPR. It will be very nostalgic, featuring the Topeka Symphony. Kyle Wiley-Pickett and the Topeka Symphony focused on film music for their April 2024 concert, and you can hear themes from The Mission, Breakfast at Tiffany's, Last of the Mohicans, and more. That's Thursday evening at 7, only on KPR. And support for classical music on KPR comes from Cromwell Solar, reminding listeners that tax credits for installing solar and battery systems on homes are set to expire soon. More information about that is at cromwellsolar.com, and I wonder if they could install a solar panel in my brain to keep me awake. Well, speaking of trying to stay awake, this lullaby is not going to do it. Actually, it's kind of a jammin' lullaby. It's by Gershwin, and it's his famous lullaby for string quartet, and it's really beautiful. I think it'll be a nice closer for this evening together. Right now on KPR, I've got Leonard Slatkin conducting an orchestral version with the St. Louis Symphony.
an albeit smaller orchestral version here on KPR, Leonard Slatkin's St. Louis Symphony Gershwin, The Lullaby for String Quartet. I hope that's a nice way to end our hour together before Classics Live that's coming up and then some jazz music, and we are off and running into the rest of the week, Tuesday through Friday, making it hopefully all the way to Saturday. Thanks for being here with me. I'm Destiny, and thanks to those of you that joined me for Classics by Request on Saturday. You know, I am always asking for requests. A really quick way of letting me know what you'd like to hear is just to go to kansaspublicradio.org and click on the Shows tab, Classics by Request. There's a little form you can fill out. I've also shared with you my website before, destinyviolin.com. There's some contact info on there, too, and usually it makes its way to me unless it gets lost in cyberspace. So really, there's just no excuse to not make a request. And I love all the requests I get. I love when I get requests for the most famous things that everyone loves, like the William Tell Overture. And then I also get some very interesting requests that are like a treasure hunt for me to try and find. So again, go to kansaspublicradio.org/classicsbyrequest. We have a lot of fun. All right, everyone. I hope you have a great rest of your Monday night. Thanks so much for being here. Classics Live up next on KPR.
On Morning Edition from NPR News, you hear directly from people in the headlines, whether you agree with them or not.
Zohran Mamdani, presumptive Democratic nominee for mayor in New York City.
Steve Bannon, it's a pleasure talking with you. Thank you.
Steve, always great.
That is Tricia McLaughlin. She's Assistant Secretary of Public Affairs at the Department of Homeland Security. Madam Assistant Secretary.
It's our job to bring you different views and to question everyone fairly. Join us weekday mornings.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. Support for classical music on KPR comes from KU Theater and Dance, featuring KU students and contemporary drama, dance, and musical comedy, staged at Murphy Hall. Season lineup and tickets at kutheater.com. Do you have an old car or truck taking up space in your garage? Skip the awful hassle of selling it, and donate it to KPR. It actually helps us. We will pick it up and you'll get a tax deduction. Learn more at kansaspublicradio.org. This is indeed Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, and we're in Yardley Hall of the Midwest Trust Center for the Performing Arts at Johnson County Community College with a Ruhl Joyce recital of what's called Forehand Piano, or Two Pianists at One Piano, starring two piano teachers at local colleges, who each have their own lively concert career as well. Welcome duo pianists Nicholas Dold and Slavomir Dobshansky. They begin with the Schubert Rondo in D major, and for this concert, Nicholas and Slavomir trade primo spots here on the 9-foot Steinway.
Thank you.
That was the Schubert Rondo in D with the Nicholas Dold Slavomir Dubchansky duo. Now Slavomir takes the solo stage for Romance of the Mazur Prince Alexander Galitzin by Maria Szymanowska. That was a gem from Maria Szymanowska, played by Slavomir Dubchansky, called The Romance of Prince Alexander Galitzin. Next, Nicholas Dold comes back to join Slavomir for the Petite Suite by Claude Debussy.
Thank you.
with duo pianists Nicholas Dold, primo, and Slavomir Dobshansky, secondo, playing Debussy's Petite Suite. Now it's just Nicholas on stage for Mad Resh. It's by Philip Glass. with pianist Nicholas Dold playing Mad Rush by Philip Glass. Now for their concluding concert piece by Moritz Moskovsky. Slavomir Dobshansky comes back to join Nicholas for 5 Spanish dances, piano, 4 hands. Thank you. two fine pianists, Slavomir Dobshansky, who teaches piano at K-State, and Nicholas Dold, who teaches at William Jewell. In addition, each has an active chamber music and concert piano schedule, both local and around the world. We just heard the two men play five Spanish dances, the Opus 12, of Moritz Moszkowski. Rounding off this Rule Joyce recital here at Johnson County Community College, JOCO hosts these free noontime concerts, often on Mondays, usually when school is in session. Recording the concert for Kansas Public Radio's Classics Live was KPR engineer Chabias Ascension Smith. I'm Cordelia Brown. We hope you like the concert, and we hope you check out the Classics Live page at kansaspublicradio.org to see what's coming up in our series of local, excellent classical music offerings. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
from the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival. That was a sonatine by Joseph Laubert. This has been Classics Live on KPR, Kansas Public Radio. Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from the KU School of Music, presenting a collection of concerts featuring jazz, orchestral, and other music throughout their current season. More information and full concert schedule available at music.ku.edu. We're live and local. We're KPR from KU, KANU, and KANU, HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH, KANH, HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV, and KANV, HD1, Olsburg Junction City, 91.3, and KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play KPR, or you can download our app that's very easy to use as well, KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. A federal appeals court in Washington has ruled that Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook can remain on the board of the central bank, at least for now. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the decision comes just ahead of a key decision on interest rates.
The appeals court voted 2-1 to block President Trump's effort to fire Lisa Cook, at least temporarily. Cook and her attorneys argue that her ouster would be a violation of the Federal Reserve Act, which is designed to insulate the central bank from political meddling by the White House. Trump tried to fire Cook over an unproven allegation from a Trump ally that she made false statements on a mortgage application. Cook has denied any wrongdoing. For months now, the president's been lobbying the Fed to make deep cuts in interest rates. The central bank is expected to order its first rate cut of the year on Wednesday. White House economist Stephen Miron will participate in that vote. Miron was confirmed to a seat on the Fed board by a closely divided Senate Monday night. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
President Trump has signed a proclamation making Memphis the latest Democratic-led city to face a federal crackdown on crime. He announced the deployment of National Guard and other federal law enforcement officers in the Oval Office today. Memphis is a majority black city. The Memphis Police Department says crime in every major category is down this year compared to previous years, and the Democratic mayor said Friday that he did not ask for the National Guard. President Trump will travel to the United Kingdom tomorrow for a state visit. The U.S. and U.K. expected to sign agreements on technology and nuclear energy during his visit, but persistent questions about the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein threatened to overshadow those deals. NPR's Lauren Freyer reports from London.
U.K. Prime Minister Keir Starmer fired his ambassador to Washington, Peter Mandelson, ahead of Trump's visit, after letters came out that Mandelson had written to Jeffrey Epstein. Now some in Starmer's own party are asking what the prime minister knew, when, and why he kept Mandelson on for so long. This could come up while Starmer and King Charles are hosting the U.S. president. Trump and the king's brother, Prince Andrew, were also once friends in the past with the late sex offender. Trump, Starmer, and the king would all likely rather focus on U.S.-UK deals to open artificial intelligence data centers, and to partner on nuclear energy. Trump is traveling with business leaders, including the heads of OpenAI, NVIDIA, and BlackRock. Lauren Freyer, NPR News, London.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio is heading to Qatar after meeting today with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel. The two spoke side by side in Jerusalem following Israel's strike last week that targeted Hamas leaders in Doha. Rubio said the U.S. wants a diplomatic end to the war in Gaza, and he backed up Israel's position that Hamas must surrender and release remaining hostages. You're listening to NPR News. The Trump administration says it's pausing the reasonable accommodations that allow Centers for Disease Control employees with disabilities to telecommute. As Jess Mador of member station WABE reports, the union representing federal CDC workers says the move violates disability laws.
U.S. Health and Human Services officials told CDC employees about the indefinite pause in an email as staff returned to in-person work this week. And after weeks of turmoil at the agency,
Last month, a gunman fired hundreds of rounds into buildings at the CDC's Atlanta campus. HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. ousted CDC Director Susan Menarez, and other top CDC officials resigned in protest. In a written statement, a federal labor union says ending reasonable accommodations is illegal and will hurt the hundreds of CDC workers who are disabled veterans. For NPR News, I'm Jess Mador in Atlanta.
The CDC's reconstituted Independent Vaccine Advisory Committee is set to meet later this week in Atlanta. The meeting will be closely watched. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. dismissed the entire 17-member board earlier this year and replaced it with a smaller 12-member group that includes several vaccine skeptics. At the World Athletics Championship in Tokyo, American board Mondo Duplantis broke the pole vault record for the 14th time. He cleared 6.3 meters today to capture his third straight world title. Duplantis grew up in Louisiana but competes for his mother's native Sweden. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include American Jewish World Service, committed to the fight for human rights, supporting advocates and grassroots organizations worldwide working towards democracy, equity, and justice at ajws.org.
But here's Sam Jones' tune, the one that we use for theme song most of the time. But this time we're going to play it because it's a swinger. It's called Unit 7.
Thank you.
On behalf of Nat Adley, my brother, cornet, Joe Zabinul at the piano, Sam Jones on bass, Louis Hayes on drums, Yusef Latif, tenor saxophone, flute, oboe, etc. We'd like to thank you for making it this afternoon. We've got to split for a minute because we got to be back here again in a few minutes. So thank you, and I'm going to see you. Bye.
The voice of alto saxophonist Julian Adderley, Cannonball Adderley, and his sextet opening tonight's Jazz in the Night on KPR, as he announced there was a tune by the bassist in the band, Unit 7, a wonderful live album entitled Jazz Workshop Revisited, recorded live at the Jazz Workshop in San Francisco, 1962, the Cannonball Adderley Sextet. I'm Bob McWilliams, and thank you for joining me this evening on KPR. We've got the new big band album by Christian McBride with special guest singer Samara Joy, and a song from Samara up next on KPR. Then we'll hear the music of organist Akiko Tsuruga and the jazz world, jazz community, especially the jazz organ community, mourning the death of Akiko. Evidently, she'd been ill for the last few months, but I know a lot of jazz players who had no idea that she was sick or close to dying, and all of us have kind of shared our shock about Akiko. I've got to see her once in person at the Iowa City Jazz Festival, just fantastic, a few years ago. And Akiko came from Japan in 2001. She grew up in Osaka. She started playing organ at age 3, I kid you not, through a Yamaha music school. And she grew up and got into jazz and was playing jazz locally there. And visiting American musicians would come, and she'd always show up. And some of them were really impressed and said, you got to try to get to New York. She did that in 2001. The first night she was there, she went to see Mike LeDun playing organ. And soon thereafter, she met Dr. Lonnie Smith, who would be her mentor. And Akiko would then spend 15 years in Lou Donaldson's band. And I've got to see her a lot over the last few years through the Smalls live feed. And just not just a terrific organist, but a terrific person, Akiko Tsuruga. And I should have said all that right before I played Akiko. And I guess I'll just play her now and we'll hold off on the Christy McBride. Akiko Tsuruga and a new album that came out earlier this year called Beyond Nostalgia. Akiko wrote this one, called it Happy Blues on KPR. Thank you.